B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb,
bomb. Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the mash. He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. My laboratory in the castle east. To the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt from my electrodes.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
Monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son.
You're something of a cheese whiz.
What's about murder? Everything's about murder in Halloween.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program. We are on Twitch at twitch.tv. Get the Twitch app. Also, Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985. The craziest thing about Monster Mash is that it goes, Dracula and his son. And there's like no rhyme.
Yeah, that doesn't go with anything, that part right there.
Yeah.
Dracula and his son.
Yeah, explain that, John.
I can't.
Did Dr. Demento ever give a reason
no.
for that?
No, never. I think that predated Dr. Demento, did it not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Boris Pickett, right? Boris Pickett, I believe.
Yeah, but his name was like Spooky Boris Pickett. Like, he had like some... Yeah, is it Bobby? He's from Central... Of course he's from Central Mass, according to Dan.
Of course he is.
Oh, he's Somerville? Oh, yeah. How about that? All I know is that recording right there was horribly uncomfortable because
there were two Celtic dancers behind me when I did it.
And like they were dancing. And the thing is, Monster Mash is like 3 minutes long. I mercifully only played a minute of it because like at some point I felt bad for the Celtics dancers. And like every time.
What about me having to sing the thing?
I don't feel bad for you.
Oh, I see.
You're singing that thing. You're singing a million times in your bedroom. But the Celtics dancers, after about 45 seconds, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And they're moving around and doing all this. And Wallach just
killed it.
He soldiered on. It's another one of those performances where I couldn't even look at you. I had to look the other way. I mean, it was like wildly uncomfortable to watch.
Oh, it was great. He was in his element.
He was.
Got a cackle out of Fred. You don't get a lot of cackles out of you.
No. I mean, you knew the song. You had it going on.
Mm-hmm.
You had it going on. My parents are in town. It's an exciting time. I played golf with my mom. My dad rode in the cart. And we're driving to the golf. And I said, there's no one behind us today. And then my mom goes, wait, oh, yeah, no one listens to the shows after you? I go, there's no one behind us today. And she goes, no, there's traffic. No, at the golf course, there's no one behind us today. Go, oh, Then we were leaving the golf course, and to go from 9 back to the clubhouse, you have to go through some holes. And a guy overshoots the green, and the ball hits our car.
Oh, your dad must have lost it.
No, he was in another car.
Okay.
Okay.
And so we're driving, and then now we're in our car. And my mom's aware we got hit with a ball. So we're driving out, and when you drive out, there's a putting green, just a putting green. Now, I still can't figure this one out. So there's a putting green, and one of the guys is just, like, chipping on it with his son. And we pull out, and I said to my dad, "Did you see when we got hit with the ball?" And my mom said, "Oh, they hit us with the ball?" And I said, "Yeah, remember when we got hit with the ball?" Because we were leaving. It was 5 minutes before. And she goes, "Oh, I didn't realize when they were chipping that they hit the car." The cart. I said, 5 minutes ago, we got hit by a ball. They're on a putting green 20 feet away from us. The hell are you talking about? So I started getting in a fight with my dad about Trump in the car. And then my mom just, "Freddy, Freddy."
How tough is it to not take the bait with your dad?
Because I go, "Did you hear the Secretary of State talking about it and admitting quid pro quo?" And then he started going nuts. He goes, "You didn't watch it." And I go, I watched it. He goes, "Well, if you watched it, you would have known what he didn't say." I said, "Did you see the Chris Wallace interview? I mean, he's on Fox, which you masturbate to." I said, "I saw the interview, and it was all taken out of context." I said, "What are you talking about?" And then I said, "The Russians, there's a lot coming out with the Russians." He goes, "Yeah, there is, but not what you think." I said, "What do you think?" He goes, "The Obama administration's going to all go to jail."
He's not alone. Not even close to being alone.
And then he goes, "I just saw something in the Hill.com," so he has to sift through like Fox News for 5 minutes. And I go, "The Hill." And he goes, "You don't read the Hill. You don't know the Hill." And I said, "What? Ooh, the Hill. Yeah. Like, where did you discover the Hill?" And then my mom's in the back going,
I learned 2 years ago, if you don't talk politics, hanging out with my parents and Mary's parents is the greatest thing ever. And you just have to, and it's tough. It's tough to sit there and hold your tongue, but I'm telling you, it's worth it, because there's been times where I've been like, "Wow, that was pleasant." And then on a dime, I'll just make like one retort. It'll be like there'll be some sort of quote from an article that is so impossibly not true. And I'll just be like, and it's over. And then it ruins everything. It ruins the evening. And especially with Thanksgiving coming up, and you're going to be spending, a lot of people are going to be spending a ton of time with their relatives. I mean, just don't take the bait. It's never worth it, because you're never going to change their mind. That's the other thing.
My dad went to Dartmouth and had a perfect score in his SATs. And he's like, "In my part of the country," like, "You're from Detroit. Like, now what are you, like a country boy now? Like, you live in East Tennessee for 12 years and all of a sudden, my part of the country." Yeah, that's right. You're a real man of the mountains. There, Dad. It's more like he sleeps till noon, which is great. I do the same thing. And then he pops on the old Fox News,
mm-hmm.
which he says is the only real... And then I said, "Well, you look at Trump's timeline." He goes, "I don't have to see it." Said, "Just look at his timeline. Say, see how much he retweets Fox." And then my dad goes, "Well, it's the only real news source." I said, "Well, that's very presidential of him." and he goes, "Well, he's an unconventional president." And I go, "Yeah, he's an idiot." And then he goes, if you're retweeting Fox and you have 66 million followers, the incentive is to keep saying things. I said, so that doesn't seem like a state-run organization at this point. Yeah, well, I just saw something down the hill.
Now, you poked the bear a little bit. You did.
I do is read about it.
I know, but you said, Trump's an idiot. Once you said that, the gloves are off.
Yeah, I mean,
what'd you expect?
See, you're not going to be right in his eyes.
Ever.
Like I'm trying to figure out the benefit because I've gone through this, and I've it's bit me in the ass.
The benefit is that he is an educated man.
Yes.
And I said, what did you think about the letter that he sent?
The don't be a tough guy letter.
Yeah. Right. And then he goes, well, he killed the guy in ISIS. I said, well, he stated on numerous times that ISIS was gone. He never said that. You're taking that out of context. I go, do you know all the stuff he says, stupid?
Totally and completely, I believe, were the two words he used.
Yes, that they were gone before they assassinated the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, he never said that you took it out of context. I go, do you realize the things that he says? Like he just says things.
Man, I'm getting nervous.
But you like poking him a little bit. You do. You like poking him. Just a little bit to see what kind of response
you
can get.
Yeah, I like poking him.
Yeah,
because it's maddening that a man of that intelligence if he liked Trump, that's one thing. But to completely buy in to everything and then dismiss Chris Wallace, who's on Fox. Like, to dismiss, this guy's on Fox.
That his base is a bunch of, they will not swerve. And you knew this before the conversation started.
I thought that he might have read the letter and gone, all right, this is kind of weird. And that the guy from Turkey said that he threw it away.
Doesn't matter.
You know, and that he pulled out of, in part, when he was pulling out of the Ukraine, he said there was no ISIS.
Your dad's not here. You don't have to defend it. He's not here anymore. because now you're making me nervous because there's going to be a lot of time I'm going to be spending with my parents, who, by the way, are delightful. Matter of fact, Mary's dad was in town for the last 3 days. They rocked the casino 3 of the 4 days, which is awesome. But they we don't agree on a lot of things politically. But I've learned to not bring anything up.
Well, it's Mary's
and
parents,
and it's brilliant. Oh, with my mother, I've learned not to bring up anything.
So you.
Like if I and it's tough, but I've had too many disastrous family. It's just not worth it because you're never going to change their mind. And the thing is, too, is that these conversations don't end. I don't know if you're the same way. Like if you happen to engage, you start getting texts throughout the day with links to articles and links to things like nutjob.org and all this stuff. I mean, it continues.
No,
it doesn't end.
He doesn't
just
do that.
Don't engage.
It's impossible not to.
It's not engagement season.
I would never do it. But like my mother's father, you would think, and he's like super rich and he doesn't like Trump and he's not liberal by any stretch of the imagination. And then, but the best is I'm like, you know, the people who handle my money think the best thing that could happen is Trump is impeached because of the trade wars. And then my father goes into a spasm about that no one would ever say that. And he goes, no one ever said that to you. We're at a table right here in the living room, and they said that.
I love when people say, no, that didn't happen. You're like, okay. Well, that's I guess not. I don't know what. How do you respond to that?
You took the quid pro quo thing out of context. He said it. No, you took it out of context.
He's not here. You don't have to argue with him anymore, Fred. I'm telling you. You know, he's never going to flip. And
how do you flip? The guy said it. I don't know how you flip.
I'm not talking about Trump, and then he goes
on Fox. Fox, his Bible, and gets hammered and destroyed by Chris Wallace. And he said Chris Wallace took everything out of context. Meanwhile, he played the audio for him.
All right, whatever.
Doesn't matter, Fred.
This is more about my relationship with the father. Can you stop your stupid political texts or tweets or whatever the F you're putting out there? All right, what are we going to talk about?
I didn't know the Celtics had that in them last night. I had no idea they could do that.
Well, there you go. All right, we will talk about that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
I can't believe he did that.
Rich.
I didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Tusher and Rich.
Nine eight five. The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. What happened last evening?
The Celtics had no business winning last night's game.
Giannis gets free, catches, and misses point blank. He spun away from Tatum and he had a layup. I don't know if somebody disrupted it, but Kemba finds Tatum for three. And the Celtics have the lead.
Wow.
A 20-point turnaround in this one. This is everything you wanted this year to be.
They were down by 19. Nothing was working. They couldn't score in the paint. They couldn't guard the perimeter, and their best players were no-shows. And whereas last year's team would have rolled over and died, this team did the exact opposite.
Milwaukee by 13. Oh, steal. Marcus Smart jumps in front of Middleton, goes the distance, and there's another Sun Life dunk for Diabetes.
So quick. He anticipates so well.
This has been an elite game for Marcus Smart.
Yep.
He's got 16.
With Paul Pierce cheering from courtside, the Celtics rallied back. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks 116-105. And the heart of the comeback, no doubtly, Marcus Smart. Not only did he do the impossible by doing his part in limiting Giannis Antetokounmpo, but who would have thought he would be able to do this as well?
Hayward against Middleton, bounce entry, Robert Williams turns on Connaughton, quick kick out, Marcus Smart steps into a left side three, got another one. Fifth of the night for Marcus Smart. This is the largest lead of the night for Boston, up by five.
Marcus Smart drills five threes. Those are words I never thought I would say. Finishes with 19 points, took hard charges, and even handled being body slammed by the Greek Freak pretty well. Smart was everywhere last night. And another player who woke up and the second half and took over was Fred, your favorite guy.
Hayward grabs the rebound at the free throw line. He's on the move with Tatum. Finds him. No! A pass and a big flush for Tatum. Timeout, Mike Budenholzer. But the double-digit lead he has had all night now belongs to the Celtics.
Put your hammer down, son. Put it down.
A 33-9 run, and it's the Celtics that lead by 11.
Put your hammer down now, son.
Yawn, yawn, yawn.
Well,
October 30th.
I have to be honest, Fred. The first half of the game, I'm like, oh, boy, Fred's going to be dancing on Tatum's grave. And then after the game, I'm like, oh, Fred's not going to like this.
I don't listen. What do I care? I mean, he's going to be an abject fit. What did Jonathan Isaac do last
night? He had a few blocks. I know that.
Yep.
He had a few block shots.
Certainly more
than
Tatum.
It's true. I kept getting it. Tweets from listeners. Jonathan Isaac, 10 points, 7 rebounds.
Yep. Tatum
in
last
32
night.
Minutes, 4 of 6 from the field, 3 blocks.
Oh, look at that. He is a machine.
Yes, he is.
You put the ball in his hands, that's going in the hoop.
Hey, hit 2/3 of his shots last night, Jonathan Isaac.
My friends. It's he.
Well, Tatum, he just couldn't miss in the second half. He finishes with 25 points. Gordon Hayward just looks awesome. Back to his old self. He had 21 points, 10 rebounds, but it was the new guy that truly put the team on his back in the final frame.
Kemba Walker. Oh, they almost left him alone. He puts to the floor. Nasty step back on Giannis, and he sticks the long two. Kemba's got 27 now. 106-93.
Kemba Walker, the guy who isn't Kyrie Irving, finishes with a game-high 32 points. And good night, Milwaukee Bucks. All of this without two of their potential starters in Jaylen Brown and Enes Kanter. Here's Kemba Walker on Marcus Smart leading the way in last night's win.
That's who he is, man. You know, over the years playing against that man, he's just a tough guy. Never shies away from the moment. Like you said, you know, he made some huge shots. You know, at one point where we all were struggling, he was the one, you know, kind of keeping us in the game, just making all the right plays. He's a tough guy, man. He works extremely hard, and he's shooting the ball extremely well right now. We need him to continue that.
And as well as the team played in the second half, Brad Stevens knows that his team still has a long way to go.
We have to get better. Our whole team has to get better. Can't have the first halves like we've had in the last two games. But, you know, obviously we're really encouraged by that win and the way that our guys play together.
I said it earlier, but I honestly didn't know that this team had that game in them. It was everything last year's team wasn't. Fighting through adversity, showing resolve, not being afraid of the league MVP, and really the best part was coaching your way around not having a real answer to your opponent's biggest threat. I mean, they have like no big men, Robert Williams. I mean, they put him in there, but the way they were able to, I guess, lessen the blow that Giannis Antetokounmpo would normally be able to give them. What did he end up having, like 18 points last night?
22 and 14.
Okay, 22 and 14. For Giannis Antetokounmpo, that's a job well done. And they did it with a bunch of different ways. I mean,
mostly all, Marcus, though. Mostly Marcus.
And color me shocked, because I know that apparently in the Summer League and all that, not Summer League, over with Team USA, didn't he guard Giannis during the one game that they played and I guess did a pretty good job? I didn't pay attention to that game, and I was kind of shocked that he was the primary guy. And I know Semi Ojeleye did a deal. But man, Marcus did a great job against him.
And he got in Antetokounmpo's head. You were talking about how Giannis body slammed him.
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't body slam him. The two of them got tangled up, and Marcus was on top of him. But Giannis made sure to pull him down on top of him, and Marcus drew the foul. It's not often you see a player like that lose it a little bit. But Marcus frustrated him, even though he was giving up about 6 inches. The Celtics, no surprise, they're a lot smaller. You don't have Marcus Morris. You don't have Al Horford. And you didn't have Jaylen Brown last night. If for no other reason, Jaylen Brown's a pretty good defensive player, and you were still able to win. And you notice on offense, they're able to share the ball a lot more than they did last year.
Yes, yes.
I was talking to you, Fred, about why Jason Tatum would be a better player. The point guard they had, Kyrie Irving, the ball kind of sticks with him. And you saw it. You see it when he plays for Brooklyn. Basically, everyone else gets out of the way, and he'll score 25, 30, 40, 50 points, whatever it is. The Celtics share the ball a lot more. At least in the first four games. Maybe that changes. Maybe Kemba Walker becomes more ball dominant as we move along. I don't know. But for the first four games, they're doing a real good job of sharing the ball. And Walker had his moments. Hayward had his moments. Tatum had his moments. All three guys got theirs last night.
And by the way, that's with, I think the bench scored all but what? 8 points last night. It was something ridiculous. I mean, the bench,
the starters.
The bench didn't do much. The starters, and I think like the average was 36, 37 minutes that these guys were playing.
All five starters hit double figures last night.
But the main thing, Fred, is that on top of wondering whether or not Gordon Hayward's going to get healthy again and he's going to get back to what he is, there's also still was the lingering question as to, does he even fit with this team? There's times, even at the end of last season, where he just seemed like the odd man out. And I know we're only four games in, but I'm liking what I'm seeing. He's got the confidence to take the shot. He's not scared to get in the paint, which he kind of got over that fear at the end of last season, but even more so at the beginning of this year from the summer, I guess, that he put in working on that. And obviously his confidence back from returning from his injury. But it just seems now that everyone's falling into place. Like everyone's where they need to be, and they know their roles a little better. And it's encouraging when you're seeing that just a couple of games in, because it's just going to gel even more so from here on out.
No one's saying that this team's going to win 60 games and win a championship, but they're a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah,
and they're much easier to root for.
Well, I mean, it's the Isaiah Thomas Celtics. You knew that with the Isaiah Thomas Celtics, if they were down by 15, 20 points, that they had a comeback in them. Like, you knew that they had the resolve to push through it. Where last year, I mean, how many times did you say, all right, they're going to do it, and they never would go on that run?
Yeah.
They would just shrug their shoulders and concede to, all right, well, they're a better team, and we'll take the L and we'll move on. And you saw in that second half a team that refused to roll over.
They figured out a way. They still have a size problem, but...
A big problem.
They still have a size problem that is probably going to be their undoing in April and May, things change. But
they could use a big power forward.
They have guys like that you go
Jonathan
out there you
Isaac.
Want to root for. Right. If they had Jonathan Isaac, it'd be much better.
Yeah, Jonathan Isaac, average game yesterday, just plus 28, plus minus, just average. Seven boards, four assists, three blocks.
Yeah.
4 for 6 from the field, unlike Tatum, who's got to chuck everything up to get his points.
Sure.
Or dunk him like he did.
Yeah, well, he's 10 for 22.
Hit a couple of threes at the end.
Yeah, 10 for 22,
clutch. Yeah. But it was in clutch time.
Yeah, clutch time, October 30th. Jonathan Isaac is going to... It's going to be the most glorious thing in the world.
Somebody said, Jonathan Isaac is a really good player. He could be the next Jay Crowder.
Yeah, somebody said that they don't know who he is. That he can jump out of the gym. Jay Crowder average 3 blocks a game?
No.
Thank you.
But Jonathan Isaac is averaging 3 blocks a game? That's probably true, but how many games have we played?
His numbers keep going up.
I see. So with Tatum, it's early, but with Isaac, it's not.
Isaac was a project. Tatum came out of Duke. Jonathan Isaac was flying all over the place in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's pure potential, baby. He's like I told you. He's like molded out of clay, and Jason Tatum's molded out of poo.
By the way, if Marcus Smart can continue to hit threes. I mean, how ridiculous is he going to be this year?
I think we all understand that that's not the case.
But I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like...
Enjoy it while it lasts.
If he can be at least like somewhat consistent with the three-point shot...
He'll be the first one to tell you.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
My favorite player in the NBA.
Let's not go crazy.
All right. What else is coming up, Rich?
All right. Let's get to the Patriots. Oh, bulletin board material. It happens every week.
All right. We'll have that for you. Here are the headlines. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Jim Jeffries tomorrow night at the Wilbur Theater. Tickets still available for the 10 p.m. show at thewilbur.com.
By the way, you can go to our Twitter at Toucher and Rich. And I just retweeted an awesome photo of, I guess, the Bruins had a Halloween party. It's not the one where they all dressed as Toy Story and went to the Children's Hospital, which is, they do that every year and it's very cool. But no, this is their own personal Halloween party. And I'm trying to figure out who's who, because some of them you just can't tell, like who's under the masks or the face paint. But Bergeron is Wayne's World. Tuukka Rask is Wonder Woman is pretty fantastic. Marchand is 11 from Stranger Things, the girl. But somebody on the team is Dustin from Stranger Things, and I can't figure out who it is, and it's hysterical. I don't know who is him, and then Krejci's a banana, and I can't figure out the rest. I think Kevin Miller is, what's his name, Ben Stiller from Dodgeball. But outside of that, I can't figure out the rest. So if anyone knows, that is one hell of a photo that came out from yesterday. Well, despite Tom Brady being on the injury report with a right shoulder injury, he is going to play. The Pats had perfect attendance at practice yesterday, and the best news for the team was that Isaiah Wynn was indeed there. He's the team's second player who's been designated to return from IR, which means he's the last one who can return from IR. Despite him getting reps, Wynn's not going to be able to play until the Patriots host the Cowboys on November 24th, because that's just how it all works. Now, Belichick yesterday, he went to the podium and, of course, was open about everything and all things. And he was asked about Nick Folk, the new kicker. And when someone pointed out Folk's mediocre stats in the AAF, Belichick's answer was pure Belichick.
No, we worked him out. I'd say it's probably more important than the World League or whatever it is.
Right, the World League is so much different in terms of kicking.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the...
Different balls, you know, the field goal posts, I'm sure, are wider.
Right.
You know?
I mean, the balls just fly off the foot.
Mm-hmm.
They're made of lead.
I don't get it, because it doesn't seem like an upgrade to me, but then again.
I mean, Nugent was terrible in the last game, so.
They wouldn't kick a field goal of longer than 40 yards.
And that was another thing my father said, is he said, because they have to ask a million questions, they said, The Patriots got rid of Nugent, huh? I mean, he's been their kicker for a long time. Yeah, he's been there for 3 weeks. Oh, yeah? Who's the new guy? Nick Falk. He any good? Oh, yeah, he's the greatest. He picked him up in November. He's the best ever. Thank you for these ridiculous questions. I really appreciate it. Lord knows you have a conversation. That's impossible. But rattling off questions is exactly the way to go. Is he good? Oh, yeah, he's the best. They picked him up on October 30th. He's the best.
All right. Well, I have a clip here. It says. Oh, okay. We couldn't find it. All right. Well, Nick Boyle, the tight end of the Ravens, is giving some bulletin board material to the Patriots. saying that unfortunately the Patriots and their defense have never played a quarterback like Lamar Jackson. And to that I say, well, he's right. I'm not sure why everyone's flipping out about this being bulletin board material and trying to call him out. But whatever gets you inspired, whatever makes you flip out and say, oh, now we're going to play hard, then go ahead and go for it.
I'll tell you what is that Edelman made a video that was sent to me by Dan of he made a short film about the defense being the boogeyman.
It was a Halloween-themed one. I did not even click on it.
I made it through 5 seconds.
Okay. I think we all knew it was coming from that.
Yeah. He really wants to be a filmmaker. And it's on his own dime.
He appears in everything. Like the NFL Network not long ago played the 2018 recap of the Patriots. You know, of course, there he is. You know, he's just there. I understand he's a Super Bowl MVP, but even if he wasn't and had one catch for 5 yards, he would have, have the feeling he would have begged to be in it.
Yeah, nothing's clicking. None of this is really getting him anywhere.
He's just there. I'll be on, you know, the Kelly Ripa show. I'll be, you know, just sign me up. I'll fly out there.
But nothing,
no problem.
Nothing's really sticking for the guy.
No, he's still trying, not the media star's big brother.
No, he's trying his hardest.
Yep.
To get in there. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, when we come back, it's just a thing now. The Patriots ruin teams, and the last two teams they've played had one hell of a day yesterday. The Jets, implosion from the inside out. And Fred, your boy Baker Mayfield snaps.
He did.
In front of the press.
Snapped against the press. All right, we will return.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Kutcher and Rich.
I read you all loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Kutcher and Rich. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Jim Jeffries tomorrow night at the Wilbur Theater. Tickets still available for the 10 p.m. show at thewilbur.com.
Well, the Jets are a mess, but what's new? I didn't really think it was going to happen this quickly. I know there was a lot of hope going into this season, but Manish Mehta, who was in love with this team, and the hiring of Adam Gase, right? Didn't he like that hiring?
Yep.
Okay, Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News tweeted this yesterday. Adam Gase dodging responsibility as the Jets leader. Does not want to talk about Christopher Johnson's comment about the team being non-competitive, Jamal Adams, or the trade deadline. A cop-out, amateur move by a man who is not a leader in any way, shape, or form.
And then Samini from ESPN, who covers the team, said that Gase was brilliant, pulling because everything had been addressed the day before, and that he had his silence was smart, a la Belichick, which Manish Mehta said he's Belichick without the rings and everything else. I mean, Belichick is praised for not taking on these questions. I don't know why Gase, for all the mistakes he's made, that he's getting flack for this.
Because it's Manish Mehta, and he loves
it. Manish Mehta got into it with Gase before, and so, yeah, that's his whole thing right now.
It is. But one thing that is truly worth watching, a matter of fact, I forget which writer it was, but there was a writer for, I think it was, that might have been The Post, who was saying that it's just a matter of when Jamal Adams is no longer a member of the Jets, because it seems like it's the point of no return. After being the face of the team for the last 3 years, it sounds like Joe Douglas, is the general manager, is saying that he was only taking calls about Adams, not calling anybody at the trade deadline. It doesn't matter. Adams thinks he was stabbed in the back. And when he was asked about it yesterday, he compared himself to, well, Take a guess.
Yeah. I hold myself at a high level. You know, the Rams don't take calls on Aaron Donald. The Patriots don't take calls on Tom Brady. You know what I mean? That's where I hold myself in that regard. So regardless of, I understand that you have a job to do, that's the way I took it.
Yeah, good. Good for you, Jamal. See you later.
The Tom Brady of the Jets.
That's Somebody's right. had to. I mean, even a responsible agent calls him and goes, "You're being nuts." I mean, honest to God.
Yeah, I mean,
due diligence. The general manager wasn't there, you know, before the season started. The whole draft, the whole free agency, done by another guy.
And you know what? And by the way, Darnold's a generation. People are saying Darnold might be the best defensive lineman of all time.
Who?
Aaron Darnold.
Oh, okay.
Not Sammy D.
It's sounded like Darnold from here. Yeah.
Aaron Donald might be the best defensive lineman of all time, but if you don't think that the Rams have gotten calls about him, I mean, you're nuts.
You have to listen. I agree with Douglas when he said that. You're brought up. If somebody calls you, you listen.
By the way, it doesn't mean
you're shopping them.
Adams beat for three touchdowns against the Jaguars.
He's going to be a very good player for a very long time. I take him on my team, but the way he's acting now, I can't see the Jets holding on to him.
Why
either.
Would I hang on to a safety that's a problem? I mean, just get rid of him. Get rid of him before the...
You'll get a lot for him.
Right before the draft.
You will. You'll get a lot for him. And
screw you.
Yeah.
I'm not in the business of losing. Well, then don't lose. Yeah. If you want to be the face of the team, don't lose. Don't be responsible for three touchdowns in a game. Be able to cover a tight end. I mean, I thought he was cool. I liked the way that he hit Pat Patriot and everything. But, I mean, Jesus, dude. You're a 23-year-old safety. McCourty's far better than him, but I mean, if McCourty wasn't on the team, I don't think that this is a bad example because McCourty's 55 times the player that Jamal Adams is. But I mean, what do you think that the Patriots won't win a Super Bowl if he gets hurt? Like that it would ruin everything? Go screw.
Well,
stupid safety.
Once again, proving that the Patriots don't only beat teams, but they rip the souls out of them. Baker Mayfield yesterday spoke to the press. And he was asked some tough questions that he did not like.
After the blocked field goal at the end of the first half, the 2-minute drive, it seemed like there was a lack of urgency there. Was something going on?
There was a penalty, so we were negative yardage.
No, but there was a lot of time between snaps.
Well, when the penalty happened, then we're behind the chains. No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. Do you want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know it. That's just plain and simple. Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. It's the dumbest question you could ask. What? Jesus, Tony.
And then he walked off.
Yeah, he doesn't play the game. He couldn't possibly have an opinion of what happened.
And when I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's the implosion's beginning.
He is. I swear to God, we've talked about this before. Baker Mayfield has never known. I mean, yes, he had some adversity. He had to transfer. He was a walk-on. I get that. But he succeeded... What, 99.9% of his life?
Yes.
And this is the first time that he's losing games, and man, he is not handling it well.
I'll tell you this. All. I'll take a safety run in his mouth before I'll take my franchise quarterback run in his mouth.
I just also think, in fairness, he's down the list on the problems with that team. Like, he's not near the top.
Sure.
Like, Freddie Kitchens is number one. The offensive line's probably number two.
I don't know.
And then there's guys, I mean, during that Patriots game, the second half, he calmed down and did his job, and there were guys like Odell Beckham Jr. who aren't catching perfect passes that are thrown his way. And on top of that, I'd be pissed if he was dicking around with Tom Brady as well after the game and fawning all over.
Maybe if Mayfield was better and wasn't such a prick, that he wouldn't be screwing around with Tom Brady.
Compare him to the second-year quarterbacks in this league. He's okay.
He's got five times the weapons. I mean, he's got weapons.
That is true. He does.
So, I mean, he's got a very good running back. He's got an elite receiver, and he's got a very, very good receiver.
But I agree with Rich. I mean, he's third on the list of problems.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, the offensive line would help. A better offensive line would help. And you know what? Against the Patriots, he wasn't horrendous. He wasn't.
He's the second best quarterback they've played.
He wasn't horrendous because they also, I think, a factor was they were playing in a hurricane. Might have been a factor in how low scoring that game was.
I thought he'd throw more interceptions, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean,
they played the game. I mean, it's going to eliminate Odell Beckham and stuff, but it's going to make it harder to turn over the ball because You're not throwing downfield as much.
And he didn't lose his mind, which some of these young quarterbacks do when you get down, especially as embarrassingly as they did in that first quarter. He didn't lose it. He stayed composed, but he didn't stay composed yesterday. He did end up tweeting this after that comment. He said, quote, "Everybody wants to hear the truth until they actually get it. I am who I am and always have been. Don't call it emotional when it's convenient and then passion when it fits. I care about winning. So, yeah, I'm frustrated."
Yeah.
If I was to act like it's okay to lose, then y'all would kill me.
Yeah, okay. I'll never call it passion. I'll always call it the other thing.
Feeling dangerous.
I'm going to go in here and cry to the press.
And I want him to be good because the NFL needs a villain.
Yeah.
The NFL needs a guy you can hate who's legitimately talented.
Who else? I don't know, because he's never going to be good, so pick someone else.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers kind of pisses me off. He's a little bit of a douche.
No, Aaron Rodgers is a douche.
He's a douche.
Yeah, but he's not a guy that you openly hate.
Right. Baker Mayfield's a guy that I can openly root for, but I want him to be better because it's more fun if he's good.
Well, you'll be waiting a long time. Someone else will come along
I'm telling you, just get him a new coach. Get an offensive line in there.
Oh, yeah, that's as simple as that.
Get him a new coach.
Well, new coach is easy.
Guy's going to be better than this guy? Yeah,
there's like two good coaches in the NFL.
Anyone's better than Freddie Kitchens. Anyone.
Well, I think that could be put to the test. I mean, hire another guy. I mean, how many good coaches are there in the NFL? Good coaches.
Does Andy Reid count?
He's a good offensive coach. Yes. I don't know if
Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Bill Belichick, probably Bruce Arians you can throw in there.
Bruce Arians?
Yeah. This year, this team's not very good. I think you consider him a good coach, though.
About Reich in Indianapolis?
Yeah, he's been doing a great job. Reich's been good this year.
If they win something, then maybe.
I mean,
well, right this what second. Got, yes. Without, but, man, having this conversation in a vacuum. Frank Reich is good. Well,
okay. He would be in the conversation for Coach of the Year, yes,
If you've gone to Frank Reich that quickly, it shows you the dearth of coaching.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
This is it. There are four, maybe five. Yes.
Yeah, man, that might be pushing it. All right. No commercials here, just the headlines. We'll be joined by the Bankroll Boys.
Hey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.